This is Pure Decking Show number 259. I am Morps. What the hell is today? I don't know.
It's Wednesday, March 87.
It's sometime in... That. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like the, how cyberpunk the world has gotten information security. And I've had a shit week. I don't even have a joke. I'm Morps. I am drinking heavily tonight. I have a lot of Woodfords. Madman. What are you drinking?
New Belgium Cherry Almond Ale.
Fancy.
Yeah, fancy and kind of strange. Not sure if it's good. It's not bad. Still deciding on whether or not it's actually good.
Laser, what are you drinking tonight? Is this the first time you've been on decking?
No, it's not the first time, but it's been a long time since I've been on.
Okay. What are you drinking?
Big blue glass of zombie.
Okay, yeah. I haven't seen zombie in a while.
Wanda gets fucked up.
Yeah, it'll do that. Suave, what are you...
I'm currently drinking a somewhat sketchy, somewhat fortified rhubarb wine that was given to me in a Crown Royal bottle by a person.
This person, we found him under the bridge with a cloak, offered you a quest, and this was the...
This is the reward he chose.
The other one was a condom full of some random shit.
It's actually a plastic bag full of baked goods.
The rhubarb wine is the better choice, probably.
Plastic bag full of baked goods. Are you?
This is why I'm looking up blind porn. Audio porn. For when he goes blind drinking that homemade shit.
Just so you're ready for
it. Will happen.
Yeah. You know,
way to help your friends there, are you? Way to help your friends.
You know, you gotta future-proof.
He's got to get ideas for his speeches he's going to give when he runs as the pantomime horse.
Exactly.
I figured I'd just nail it.
Wonky Donkey the Blind Horse.
Oh, you're getting two different groups of people right there. You're going to lock up the furries and the blind people. Like right off the bat.
Nothing gets the voter turnout like furries and fucking blind, dude.
You don't tell the blind person that, you know, you're in the costume beforehand.
There's a demographic.
Do you ever shave?
There's a demographic I want to see MSNBC run against Trump's 100 first days. Well, we asked 3,000 furries and 4,000 blind people, and they're giving a 43% rating.
We put them in the same room just to see what would happen.
Oh, dear Jesus. For a blind person just feeling around. What the fuck is this, an ear? Oh, shit. Why is that zipper? Oh, God. Why did you shave that part? Oh, there's a fucking new TV show, isn't it? This grab a bunch of poor furries and a fucking blind man, and he has to run an obstacle course.
Actually, that would be a TV show right there. Just, you know, grab random people, blindfold them, and make them feel horrible things, and describe what they're feeling, see if they can guess what it is.
That was my high school.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that's ass. I'm pretty sure I'm feeling an ass.
I'm sure there's several Japanese TV shows like that already, so...
Buzzkill.
Yeah, kind of.
I hope you guys are having a better week than I have.
Nope. I'm right with you, man.
We'll talk after the show. I doubt that.
The healthier I get, the worse I get. Don't ever give up drugs and alcohol, kids. Stay with it. Just push through it when you hit that 40 barrier.
The first article, or I guess the lead article I have for tonight, is from Heat Street. And there are several versions of this article. This one was just kind of the funniest headline. This nightmare law. Would block porn on all connected devices unless you pay to unblock it. There's a new bill gaining steam with the puritanical state legislators and the nanny state Republicans. That's not a line I'm used to hearing. Nanny state, isn't it usually the other way around?
That's what I thought. Democrat, huh?
Yeah.
It is probably one of the most stupid, misguided attempts to censor the internet in recent memory. In an effort to stop people from watching porn, the bill would cause a regulatory nightmare for tech manufacturers, retailers, websites, consumers, and even state regulators. All this hassle because one guy has a porn addiction and wants everyone to pay for it. The Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention Act is a, you know, the anti-porn bill they call the Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention Act. I'm pretty sure both of those things are already fucking illegal.
I don't know. Let me go try to buy a four-year-old. No, wait a minute.
Yeah,
let's
good luck
not.
With that.
I'm now certain that Madman actually knows where he can buy a four-year-old.
Madman, okay, to start you on your journey, don't ask how, but start with Baylux Messenger. Messenger.
is a draft bill in 13 state legislators that has nothing to do with human trafficking or child exploitation. Well, it's an anti-porn bill, so I hope it has nothing to do with child exploitation. So, and yeah, to look at the pictures of the children, it's a double fee. No, fuck, no, stop. While the bill is slightly different in each state, the model legislation these bills are based on would require all internet-connected devices, like computers, smartphones, tablets, and smart TVs, to come installed with a filter that would block access to online pornography. Because we've already had so much success with the ones they sell outside of coming with a device. The only way to remove the filter is to go to a retailer and pay a $20 tax. But first you have to make a written request asking to remove the filter. Then you would have to receive reading material explaining the dangers of pornography and removing the porn filter. Then you would have to confirm receive the reading material. Then you would pay $20 to the state, but the retailer may charge additional fees. These fees could add up significantly if a consumer is forced to unlock every device and router in their household. Yeah, it sounds simple, right? The legislation claims to be a solution to a range of social ills. One of the bills, or on the bill's website, it says the bill would reduce crime by making prostitution hubs, child pornography, revenge pornography, and obscenity, as defined in the existing obscenity code, more inconvenient to access. I'm guessing these people have never heard of, you know, format reinstall. It is the official Windows song.
You know, how does this reduce pornography? I'm not pornography. How does this reduce prostitution?
I don't get that part.
I thought prostitution was illegal anyway.
In most
places.
Yeah, probably most reduces places. The ability for people to go online, look up escort services and such.
So they're going to make any messaging system illegal or a pay-to-play?
Yeah, basically. That's how you'd have to do it. Manufacturers of internet... Pay-to-play. Manufacturers of internet devices would have to be sure their filters did not let any pornographic images in and could be liable if any gets sued. You just can't use the internet. And that's exactly what you said. Every messaging system, because if it gets through the filter, that's every messaging system, that's every chat system, every website, every file transfer system. You know, the ones that haven't been invented yet, you have to filter for them.
Okay, so there is a sexual fetish of... You know, getting turned on while watching people fall down steps. Monty Python's now a banned image list.
Apparently. They would also be on the hook if someone used their products to access child pornography or prostitution services. So, yeah, just the filters are supposed to block out the escort sites. These companies are expected to operate reporting services where consumers can report any vulnerabilities in the filter, because, you know, anybody's going to bother to do that. Presumably, the cost of operating these services would then be passed on to the consumer. So, you know, your internet bill is going to triple. Social media sites would be exempt from getting blocked as long as they moderate their content and allow users to report obscenities found on the sites for removal. Obscenity laws vary by state to state and can be quite complicated. The bill does not specify specifically state how it would handle large social media sites like Reddit and Twitter that allow pornography to be posted alongside regular content. Wait, Twitter allows porn?
Damn.
Yeah.
Huh. I haven't used Twitter in a long time.
I guess I might have to go check out Twitter sometime.
If I'm a chick that identifies as a dude, I can get my tits out. Because technically, men's breasts aren't sexualized, and if the chick identifies as a bloke, then she has to be viewed as a bloke by Twitter and can't be blocked.
See, I actually thought Twitter blocked porn. I just offhand. Guess I'm out of the loop. There are scant specifics about the actual filter would be used. Internet filters are notorious for overreaching and blocking harmless sites arbitrarily. They are also fairly easy to bypass, as any troublemaking middle schooler knows. And child pornography is often found and traded on dark corners of the internet. Not accessible. I need to have the button better ready. Where to go? Dark corners of the internet not accessible on standard browsers.
Like YouTube.
Please tell me it gets taken down quickly if it's on YouTube at least.
There's a whole mess of it out there. People are trying to be taken down. But because it's tagged and worded as different things, like child empowerment videos and things like that. Yeah.
What? That's not child empower.
Don't argue.
Once you know a way around the filter, you're going to find a way to make it pop up if you want to do that crazy shit.
I'm just going to hide under the table, hold my head, and scream.
There's been a lot of people actively trying to get this group removed from YouTube, but YouTube refused to remove them for some reason. Yet, you know, call someone out on YouTube and you're Insta-banned.
Yeah. You have been denounced, you've been removed, and taken to the camps. Anyways, it is unlikely that the filter would be sophisticated enough to be able to prevent downloads of child porn at obscure Tor addresses. Man behind the bill is more of a freak than the porn he's trying to block. I think that may be an opinion of the author. I'm not certain. Chris Xavier is a homophobic anti-porn crusader and an EDM DJ. Who wants...
What?
What?
That's what it says.
What DJ?
EDM.
EDM, I gotta look up what this is.
Electronic dance music.
Techno. And
well, step. Certain. But anyways... Yeah.
One who apparently anti-porn crusader and EDM DJ who once tried to marry his porn-filled MacBook to protest gay marriage.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Do the unbalanced fucking make laws now?
Apparently.
Yes, if they have enough money.
You did see back a little over 100 years ago when we started letting women vote, right?
Granted, that was a mistake.
Yes, I'm working on getting banned from the internet, gentlemen.
You and me both.
Pure Decking, we are not a safe space. I'm just going to point this out. Anyone who thinks we are a safe space can go fuck themselves. Actually, wait a minute. We're talking about porn and filters. People might be doing that.
Gross.
So here's a fun excerpt from his court filing. Dear God. Yeah, they're called. Don't Ask was calling me out in the chat room. It's like, dude, this is a media gripe. Why are we talking about this? It's because it's hilarious. So here's the excerpt from his court filing. Recently, I purchased an Apple computer. The computer was sold to me without filters to block out pornography. I was not provided any warning by Apple that pornography was highly addictive and could alter my reward center by the manufacturer.
What?
Wait. That's what it says. That There's a reason addictive. I provide the links. I don't think I could make this shit up. Okay. Over time, I began preferring sex with my computer over sex with real women. You're using the CD-ROM tray wrong. Naturally,
using the woman wrong.
Oh, to be his technician. Oh, gross.
Naturally, I fell in love with my computer and preferred having sex with it over all the other persons or things as a result of the classic conditioning upon orgasm.
Is this guy Asian?
You know, they don't have a picture of him. I'm seeing the EDM DJ
story. What's his name? I'll track him down. No, I'll pull it up. You keep going, dude.
Let's see. He's also
W.
Okay, yeah. So the author has definitely got some opinions here because they actually put in the article he's also a huge piece of shit. maybe bat shit. according to the Daily Beast, Xavier was charged with. Huh.
I'm saying this is one of the most well-crafted articles I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. According to the Daily Beast, Xavier was charged with stalking and harassing country music star John Rich and a 17-year-old girl. There's a warrant out for his arrest in Tennessee for failing to pay child support and breaking a restraining order against his ex-wife. The restraining order was drawn after Xavier was convicted of assaulting his father-in-law over a dispute about visitation rights. The altercation resulted in his seven-month-old son getting injured and taken to the... Okay, dude, you're attacking an infant. That's kind of not cool.
He had sex with a computer. What do you expect?
I was hoping he'd sit in the corner and leave everyone else alone. Xavier even sued Apple, claiming their products ruined his marriage because his MacBook did not include porn filters, which resulted in him getting addicted to pornography. Yes, yes. Tell us more about how the McDonald's employees tied you to the chair and force-fed you Big Macs until you were obese. No, wait, that's a different lawsuit. The plaintiff began desiring younger, more beautiful girls featured in porn videos than his wife, who is no longer 21, the complaint said. Oh, shit. So this is the guy that wants to protect the nation's children from the evils of pornography. The bill comes on the heels of Utah's anti-porn hysteria, declaring porn a public health crisis. The state legislator even proposed a bill that would allow porn addicts to sue porn distributors, similar to how ailing smokers sued tobacco companies. I don't think it's the same thing. If the Human Trafficking Prevention Act goes through in any state, it would be an enormous pain in the ass for manufacturers, websites, retailers, and consumers. Companies would have to drastically change the way they do business just to conform to the cockamamie laws of one state. So...
Or just not do business in that state.
Yeah, that's really what would happen. You know, somehow I'm not really all that surprised with that picture. He's trying to look like a badass, too, and it's not really working.
To be fair, that is the least feminine photo I could find of what is clearly a closet homosexual. yeah. But he's got some fucking issues, man.
No kidding,
I don't
right?
think military's don't ask, don't tell didn't really work well for him.
He looks like a Ken
doll.
Yeah.
So pretty much this guy's blaming Apple for not filtering the internet, which is kind of stupid on a lot of levels. Right.
The dude served in the military, so how did he end up being such a big pussy?
How did it take so long to get addicted to porn?
I mean, if you had to squat in the desert for 3 years, madman, fighting an enemy, you'd fucking jack off to anything.
Yeah, I figured he'd be addicted to porn in the military. I mean, everyone I know that's been in the military has seen massive amounts of porn and several cocks hanging from, you know, open trousers.
Like, I don't want to be this current year sort of guy, but fucking porn's everywhere now.
Well, even less so than that. So, okay, yeah, this guy's a piece of... I don't even know what the hell this guy is. You know, it's, you know, I guess if he wasn't on the anti-porn crusade, he'd probably be out there marching with the SJWs demanding you use his preferred pronouns. So, you know, that point aside, the fact that this many states are actually considering this bullshit law, which, oh no, my device is coming with a filter I don't want. I format all my computers when I get them anyways because of all the bloatware that's already on them. And, I mean, so how are you going to enforce this? It's like, are you going to raid somebody's house because they formatted their computer without a license? You going to do it at the ISP level? I mean, obviously the people putting this together don't have a fucking clue how any of this shit works.
Hey guys, look, he's running Linux.
Burn him! Burn the witch! I mean...
No, I could see it. Your government issued formatting. Yeah, you know, they put the little zip tie through the computer so you can't access anything internally.
Or you know, yearly
inspections to keep your computer license.
It's going to be one of those laws that's completely unenforceable. And, you know, they just can use it for that one extra charge when they bust somebody for something else.
Yep. I think Don't Ask is in the chat room is 100% correct. This is not going to pass. This is, most people are talking about it just for, you know, shock value and bullshit factor. You know,
hey, the $100 fine for men masturbating made it through the first hurdles.
I know, that's the part about this that scares me, is that whereas I think he's right, I think it's clickbait, the fact is it's up for like 13 states. If only one of them passes it, it's like, what the fuck, man?
Wait a minute, $100 fine for men masturbating made it past any hurdles?
Yeah, it made it past the first lot of where they read the law and then go yay or nay whether they want to proceed with changing any of it, and it made it through, so now it goes to committee or something like
that.
Well,
it made it as far as they did because they presented it as some feminist equality bill up until they actually read the damn thing and went, oh.
No, it was in a guise of defunding Planned Parenthood.
That's not the one. I'm thinking of a different one then.
Either way, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same bullshit where they lie about what's in a law until it gets up there and hope nobody notices.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing about this law. Did you see the name of it?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with
it. Nothing to do with any of those things.
You know, we're calling it the Cookies for Orphans Bill, and, you know, what's it actually do? Well, it puts a $1,000 fine on looking at your phone. It's like, wait, what? So.
Ooh, no, Cookies for Orphans Bill, and it actually funds me. Everyone in the U.S. must pay Madman $10. I mean, so. It's enough that no one's going to care, but I'll be a billionaire.
It looks like the orphans are going hungry as far as I'm concerned, Madman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not in here. We'll have to do an international thing at the UN to scoop you into it. But on the upside, after this law passes and I'm a billionaire, I'm going to fund the next few meetups.
Oh, there you go. But in all seriousness, I can't even fathom how this would work. I mean, you would have to have every device, every router, every computer, tablet, phone.
Like, imagine how slow it's going to make the internet.
Well, they'd all have to check in somewhere. And ensure that they're not running software that's not allowed. And, you know, oh, I see the Tor browser.
It would have to ping out constantly for the fact that you could spoof it when you start up. Like, ding, yep, I'm connected legitimately, and then...
Then your VPN connection to the Finland or wherever, that's not going to ban it.
He's using a VPN. Raid his house. Shoot him in the head. I mean, it's...
ban list on websites would be ever-expanding. I mean, WhiteHouse.com exists for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, it's bullshit. It's never going to pass. But, well, even if it did, it's unenforceable. But I don't even know how you would even try to do this. I really don't. I mean, I suppose you could maybe do it at the ISP level unless that account has been flagged as a porn account. But, you know, then, of course, there's all kinds of fun opportunity for blackmail there. So, I don't know.
I'm thinking Sarge's right. If it ever passes, it's not going to be enforced. It's just going to be another charge whenever they bust you for something else.
Suave. That was actually Suave who said that. Sard is, you know, oh, we've only got the virtual Sard.
No.
Sard.
So. Anyways, let's move on to this next one just because it is hilarious. From digitaltrends.com. People show their concern about the impending artificial intelligence-fueled rise of the robots in all manner of different ways. One man in Mountain View, California this week decided to take out what we can only imagine to be his fears about the impact of an increased automation on the human workforce by allegedly assaulting an innocent robot in a Silicon Valley parking lot.
It begins.
The Luddite didn't assault a robot. He committed vandalism. Assault happens to people. Vandalism happens to property.
The robot caught up in the incident was K5, one of the smart sensor-equipped 300-pound security robots. First of all, the fact that there's a 300-pound security robot is terrifying enough. Designed by the robotics company Nightscope. The assailant allegedly knocked over K5, which immediately registered the assault and sounded an alarm. The suspect attempted to run, but was ultimately arrested by Mountain View police. And this is the best part. We are incredibly proud of the outcome and believe that this is the true testament to the technology we have developed here at Silicon Valley. Stacey Dean Stevens, Nightscope's Vice President of Marketing and Sales, told the UK-based independent newspaper. We are happy to report that the robot has recuperated from his injuries and is back on patrol, keeping our office and employees safe again. K5 reportedly suffered only superficial injuries, including a number of scratches on its back during the attack. This is a pretty pathetic incident because it shows how spineless the drunk guys in Silicon Valley really are, because they attack a victim who doesn't even have any arms, a Mountain View resident told ABC News.
It's not a victim, it didn't have injuries, and why the fuck didn't a security robot at least come equipped with a taser?
Yeah, if some drunk asshole knocked the robot down and they're charging him with assault... First of all, he knocked over a 300-pound robot, so good on him. But
worst case right now, anyways, is vandalism. Like, that's all they could get him for.
Well, I just love the marketing person coming out here saying, this is a wonderful incident, so your security robot only works if somebody actually attacks the damned thing?
Did it at least get a picture of the dude and report it to the cops itself?
Yeah, he got arrested.
I just want to know... Was the footage from a security camera or the security robot?
The article doesn't say. The rest of the article here says, while man-on-robot crime is still something of a new phenomenon, it's not totally without precedent. In 2015, an intoxicated man in Japan attacked one of SoftBank's emotion-reading pepper bots, kicking and damaging the bot. Emotion-reading pepper bots?
Yeah.
It's not new. They're called Luddites. We already have a name for them that's a couple hundred years old.
Okay, I'm going to call bullshit on this story. But yeah, that thing's on wheels, right?
Yeah. They got a picture of the robot. It looks like a giant.
Yeah, okay, it's on wheels. It's designed to stay upright on inclines up to, what, 35 degrees, you'd say? Roughly?
Probably.
It weighs 300 fucking pounds. Or 136 kilos. Look, like, that's a big fucking heavy robot, man. That's on wheels.
Oh, yeah,
and
but a guy could tip a Coke machine. I'm sure a guy could tip
it. Yeah, but a Coke machine's on legs.
Well, you also have to remember, it's a robot, so probably it's got all the heavy shit right at the bottom.
So they have a picture of it here on the webpage. Why did they design their robot to look like a giant fucking tampon?
They're going after the feminist market. Oh.
Seriously, it looks like a giant tampon with, like, blue lights on it and a Cylon visor.
I see no taser and no gun. This is not a security robot.
Yeah, it's a camera on wheels. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's a telepresence sort of object.
Yeah.
So some drunk dude knocks the thing over and they charge him with assault.
It's vandalism. Don't give the robot rights.
That's more like just a case of drunken disorderly.
Oh, no, it's destruction of property or damage to property.
Well,
so
I don't
vandalism.
Know. Was it damaged?
Scratches.
Yeah, scratched up.
Probably cost them about $5,000 to replace the scratch panel, but you know how it is.
$5 worth of Nick Wax from the automotive store. What are you talking about?
If it costs $5,000 to replace a panel, then it's no longer a misdemeanor. Sure. He's looking at felony assault on a robot.
No.
Oh, who's
felony
getting raped in
vandalism
prison?
And destruction of private property. It's not a fucking person. I'm not giving these things rights. They can't vote. They outnumber me.
Fuck it, dude. I want this guy charged with felony assault on a robot. I want him to do 12 years.
I want to see this get to court where they have the robot testify.
Don't ask his rights. It's modern cow tipping. Give the guy a fine and send him home. Ooh, I want to go cow tipping now with robots.
I want to build robots that go cow tipping.
That's even better.
Fuck you, man. Felony assault on livestock. Cow has rights.
It's food. Food does not have rights. Again, they can outvote me. They don't get rights.
So at what point is it less a cow tipping robot and more just crashing a drone into a cow?
Does it have legs, and can the robot walk away afterwards?
The robot wouldn't walk, it would fly, because I'm thinking of just using a cheap drone.
Can it fly away afterwards?
I don't know. Depends on how hard it hits the cow.
Then
whether or not
it
fucks up a prod.
it must
scares
be reusable.
It, I mean, come on.
Anything is one-time use cow tipping. I mean, I can hit it with a car, it's going to flip over. My car might not drive away. Not designed for tipping cows.
Those are very solid objects.
I'm just thinking buzzing cows with a drone would be a fun pastime.
Oh, that's going to cause a stampede somewhere. And I hope your drone has a video of it.
Moo.
You've been playing Diablo 2 lately.
Ooh.
All right. Next one up is from The Guardian. Don't Ask actually sent this one in the chat room earlier tonight, and I thought it was amusing. Facebook admits government exploited us to spread pop propaganda. No shit.
Water's wet, the sky's blue, and men masturbate. Other news we already know.
Facebook has publicly acknowledged that its platform has been exploited by government seeking to manipulate public opinion in other countries, including the presidential elections in the U.S. and France, and has pledged to clamp down on such information operations. How? You're saying things we don't like. Filtered! In a white paper authored by the company's security team and published on Thursday, the company detailed well-funded and subtle techniques used by nations and other organizations to spread misinformation or misleading information and falsehoods for geopolitical goals. These efforts go well beyond fake news, the company said, and include content seeding, targeted data collection, and fake accounts that are used to amplify one particular view. Actually, I doubt it's the government's doing this. It's probably consulting companies. Sow distrust in political institutions and spread confusion. We have had to expand our security focus from traditional abusive behavior, such as account hacking, malware, spam, and financial scams, to include more subtle, insidious forms of misuse, including attempting to manipulate civic discourse and deceive people, the company said. So, in other words, Facebook is going to start acting like an editor. In its effort to clamp down on information operations, Facebook suspended 30,000 accounts in France before the presidential election. The company said it was a priority to remove suspect accounts with high volumes of posting activity and the biggest audiences. We don't like what you're saying! Well, I wonder how many of those accounts were supportive of Le Pen. Just kind of curious. The company also explained how it monitored several situations that fit the pattern of information operations during the U.S. presidential election. The company detected malicious actors using social media to share information stolen from other sources, such as email accounts, with the intent of harming the reputation of specific political targets. So that would be...
that we don't like... Oh, wait. Sorry. That's not part of the article.
No. They're talking about information stolen from email accounts. They're specifically talking about what's-his-name who worked for Clinton.
John Podesta.
Podesta, yeah, thank you, Pizza.
Podesta, the child molester.
This technique involved creating dedicated websites to host the stolen data and then creating social media accounts and pages to direct people to it. At the same time, a separate set of malicious actors created fake Facebook accounts to falsely amplify narratives and themes related to the topics exposed in the stolen data. Again, they're talking about Podesta. Facebook did not specify which stolen data it was referring to, but we know that thousands of emails were hacked from the Clinton campaign. Yeah. Nor did Facebook attribute the manipulation to any nation state, although it said that the company's investigation does not contradict the findings of a January report by U.S. Director of National Intelligence that outlined Russian involvement in the election. So it does not contradict them claiming Russians did it. Again, it's not governments, it's consulting companies. Governments don't understand Facebook. They hire people to do this shit.
I'm going to go with the consulting company was hired by some governments along with probably, I don't know, the Clinton campaign and the Trump campaign.
And I campaigns think you would be
correct. Manipulate this shit. I'm going to say both of them probably did it.
Really wouldn't have it as corruptions. My command on Cylon.
All your base belong to us.
All your base are belong to us. I gotta pull up that game and play it.
You have no chance to survive. Make your time. Let's see. Yeah, Russia has been implicated in hacking a French presidential front runner, Emmanuel Macron, according to research. Anybody who's popular, they don't like the Russians are doing it. Facebook pledged to monitor attempts to manipulate the platform, develop new ways of identifying fake accounts, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, Facebook said they're going to try to put a clamp down on this kind of shit. So, I'm not surprised that they're admitting this at all. A lot of people are probably like, what? Facebook is admitting that people are trying to manipulate its platform? Well,
they had to. They got caught out too many times for it to be, oh, no, we're not. Look over there, puppies.
Yeah. No, I mean, this shit was known, man. I mean, they obviously are saying... They're specifically calling out the Podesta instances. Fine. And right now they're talking about this stuff in France, but they're not talking about, well, which political candidate did they think it was? Was it one? Was it both? There's like... Well, no, there's two left now. There were like four earlier in the week.
It was eight, I think.
What, was it eight?
Eight, yeah. I think it was eight or six, but I'm pretty sure it was eight.
Had a good chance of making it between this Emmanuel guy and Le Pen and the previous shit. I don't follow French politics well enough to answer the question.
Going to be interesting because let's just say all these street riots and shit like that have caused a few large political organizations to move over to Le Pen's side, and they're not ones you'd think that would be going there, like the gay community. They're not feeling safe in France, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they're being attacked in higher amounts than they were last year.
when you are concerned about being thrown off of a roof, I mean, it's just it happens. But you know, who's going to win aside? I'm concerned that my concern is that Facebook is picking winners and losers when it comes to this manipulation. Madman's totally right. Both sides are doing it, or all sides are doing it, I guess would be the better way to put it. Of course they're doing it. Botnets are easy to set up. Fake accounts are easy to set up. It takes 15 seconds to go register a new Gmail address so you can set up a new Facebook account.
We've covered stories where companies have advertised their service to push your agenda on social media. They were doing it for advertising. Let's get your product out there. Let's get your X out there. So there are already companies set up to do this.
Right,
if
which
they're
is why
editing,
I
want them to edit everyone, which I don't think they're going to do.
Well, and that's my concern as well, is that they're going to pick, you know, well, we happen to agree with this political viewpoint, so we're going to leave their bots alone. But all these people talking about the viewpoint we don't like, well, we're, you know, fuck them. We're going to stop their bots. I don't think it's going to be applied equally. Now, I do think they will occasionally knock out on both sides, at least the more obvious ones. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the – if the enforcement of these algorithms that are going to be looking for bots and, you know, quote-unquote fake news and political manipulation – if it's only going towards the side that, you know, you happen to agree with based on where you live geographically, well, you're going to skew your platform to one political point of view, and you're going to very quickly find people leaving it. I was kind of hoping that Mastodon was going to be interesting in that, because it was this federated system where anybody could set up a server, that you would start seeing people, you know, you'd start seeing these all of these things set up so that they're... you know, kind of setting up their own and not getting filtered. So, but apparently they've started distributing these huge block lists of servers to, you know, don't allow to connect to your Mastodon server, and they're saying that they're full of viruses and white supremacists and all this stuff. No, they're distributing block lists of servers that are, you know, they don't agree with politically. If you're not respecting their safe space and their all their Tumblr arenas, they're demanding you block servers. So, I mean, it's like it's worse censorship than when Facebook is doing it, right? So, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe just, you know,
I understand, I think all of
these platforms are manipulated.
I think you guys are kind of missing the really big point of this. Is, you know, like we're now reaching this stage where nations are actually like able to manipulate the voters of other countries.
We've been doing that for years. Project Hummingbird the CIA.
It's a lot easier to do now than it would have been back with just like when everybody was just watching TV broadcasts.
Oh no, God, it's harder now. Back in the 50s or 60s, you had five different outlets. That's a lot easier to control than 5,000.
Oh yeah, from like a standing government side. Like, yeah, absolutely, the U.S. government would be able to control things much better. But I'm talking about like a foreign government controlling what people are seeing in another country. So like, if using the Russian example, like with the U.S. elections, like, you know, I haven't seen any hard evidence yet, but like the capability certainly exists. And, you know, like there's certainly been enough evidence coming out about like plans on, you know, like the Surkov leaks.
Well, I mean, you got an interesting point here. It's not so much that, you know, we're not manipulating each other's elections, because Madman's right. Various governments have been doing that shit for years. But you had to be the CIA to do it in the 60s. Today, you know, a consulting company with a couple of Amazon AWS instances and some Python scripts can do it. So,
yeah, like, you know, it would have been like impossible for, let's say, the Russian government in the 60s to open up a TV station in the United States and start like, you know, pushing out all their own shows and stuff.
I don't know about Russians doing it, but Radio Free or Freedom Radio was a thing where we absolutely set up radio stations and broadcasted them into the Soviet bloc.
You know the reason Cuba exists right now is Russia was able to convince the United States to back Castro through using our reporters. So, yeah, in the 50s and 60s and 40s, Russia's pretty damn good about, here's the target, let's go after it. So giving them more targets makes us more resilient to that, not less.
So that, well, that, and that's where I was going, is I was going to say there's a question of effectiveness, but I don't know. It's one of those things where you pretty much just need to understand that most media is manipulated. Let's be real. Any major media that has significant amounts of money behind it, whether it's Facebook, whether it's TV, hell, big name YouTubers, it's all manipulated.
Oh, it's not just big name YouTubers. Anyone that you would call alternative media, if they're getting money, they're being manipulated. Now, they might agree with who's giving them money, but Alex Jones has an agenda. The Young Turks have an agenda. All of them are manipulating you.
We don't, but that's because we don't give enough of a shit to be manipulated.
Yeah, it's a pay up Fry's Electronics. Pay up.
I think it's. I honestly think it's naive to think that we're not being manipulated. You know, that's the very definition of like manipulation. Like, you're not aware of it, and to think that we have not been exposed or influenced by these forces, I think that's naive.
I think we're not attempting to manipulate people.
I'm not. I'm picking news stories because I think they're funny.
Oh, yeah,
you're not trying to manipulate people. Okay, I understand. I thought you said
I'm not getting on here and railing about, you know, sure, my politics are libertarian. I know that. I don't care. But it's one of those things where I don't even try to hide that. I just say, you know, look, here it is. But I'm picking these things because I think they're funny. IHM was the same way. We weren't ever trying to get a message across or a point across. We were just doing because we thought it was funny.
Fuck off, dude. I was trying to raise awareness of gay frogs.
Well, okay.
If Cygross is sending me kickbacks, I need some more. I need to get my clutch fixed on my bike.
Wait. We're getting kickbacks? Fuck, I gotta check that email account.
Yeah, you better. And I want my cut, damn it. And I also want you to forward all the hate mail. I masturbate to that shit.
Yeah, they quit sending it after you admitted that.
IHM never had an agenda. It was a joke. Yeah. Its real message was don't take shit seriously.
Other than RU's gay frog agenda, which has unfortunately been quite effective, hence Pepe.
That was only one name, and I think Pepe was forced into it. He cried.
You ever wonder why he looks so sad? You ever wonder why he looks so sad? I mean, really?
Yeah, he didn't want to take it up by another Pepe.
Pig on frog sexual violence needs to stop now.
All right, let's stop the frog sexual violence and move on to this Computer World article. Feels bad, man. Thank you, Cygross. Excellent timing.
Thank you. Feels frog is now a Nazi.
I've only had like 3 shots, so yeah, we're doing okay. This article is from Computer World. Fired IT workers are filing discrimination lawsuits. The University of California IT workers replaced by an offshore outsourcing firm intend to file a lawsuit challenging their dismissal. The lawsuit may be filed as early as next week. It will allege that tech workers at the University's San Francisco campus were victims of age and national origin discrimination.
Nice.
IT workers lost their jobs in February after the university hired India-based IT services from HCL. Approximately 50 full-time university employees lost their jobs, but another 30 contractor positions were cut as well. As somebody who works in the IT field, I can tell you that, yes, you can outsource to India, and I do not mean this in any kind of a... derogatory way, you're going to need 3 or 4 of the Indian workers to do the work of one of your IT guys, so you're not saving any money. So, anyways. You are.
Is it national origin discrimination because they're hiring Indians in India?
but they're firing Americans. We're losing our job because we're American.
No, you're using your job because you get paid too much. You're fucking lazy and take too many holidays.
the reason he lost his job isn't because he's an American. It's because he's not in India, and the employer doing this job now is in India. If he moved to India, he might have a job.
You know how much productivity is lost every week to people actually using bathrooms? With India in it, you can cut that right out.
They don't get to shit?
Do they have armed guards that escort them home? I mean, you know, they're only allowed... You know, they're standing in there with the armed guards all day long. I mean, I don't think they risk
it. You think you're shitting yourself losing your job to Indians? Indians are shitting themselves losing their jobs to Chinese. Because once Foxconn gets a contract, you can get low, low wages.
Foxconn's actually looking at opening up some plants in my area. I'm cool with that.
As long as they put the suicide nets in, madman, you'll be right.
So, yeah, replacing IT workers with offshore labor is common in the private sector, but almost unheard of at state-supported public institution. Take a workforce that is overwhelmingly over the age of 40 and replace them with folks who are mainly in their 20s, early 20s, in fact. We think this is age discrimination, said the IT employees attorney, Randall Strauss of William Ivory, Chasso, Cavill, and Brewer. That's a hell of a law firm. The national origin discrimination claim is a result of taking a workforce that reflects the diversity of California and is summarily let go and is replaced with people who come from one particular part of the world, said Strauss. The lawsuit will be filed in the Amelia Court, Superior Court. Only a few civil cases have alleged national origin discrimination in offshore outsourcing, but interest is in raising this issue appears to be gaining ground. U.S. Department of Justice recently warned employers not to use H-1B visa workers to discriminate, a signal that it may be interested in bringing its own national origin discrimination case. So Disney was bringing something similar against H-1B visas. So, yeah, it's an interesting legal trick where they're trying to take this national origin discrimination and flip it around and say, well, you're not hiring us because we're American.
I think that would work with the Disney one where they were importing workers. I don't think the California universities are actually bringing in anyone into the country.
What does diversity have to do with productivity?
Nothing. If anything, it hurts.
Then why the fuck did they have the word diversity in that article?
It's a buzzword that sounds good to people in everywhere.
To me, listening to that, they went, well, our IT people are old. We can't find any young Americans who are interested in doing IT, so we better bring in Indian people who are young. Because they mentioned that their IT workers were old and 40.
Yeah, over 40.
They needed more diversity.
Reason they threw in the over 40 is in the U.S., you can discriminate based on age until someone hits 40.
Shit. Hey, guys, 40, I got to look at something. Madman.
Well, just pause the show, man, and we'll pick up when you're good.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
I need a smoke.
All right, fair enough. We'll
reboot those servers.
Yeah,
we'll frogs.
It has nothing to do with servers. BRB. So, sorry, guys. I'm gonna leave the stream up. But okay. The fires have been put out. Kind of. Go ahead, Madman. What were you saying?
Well, with the lawsuit that the California Teachers Union or technical workers are bringing up, whichever group they are, I don't think it's as firm as, let's say, the Disney Imagineers that were canned. And the reason I'm saying this is, with Disney, they actually brought people into the country to replace their employees. With California, they're outsourcing to a contractor. Now, the contractor isn't actually discriminating based on a national origin. They're hiring Indians because they're in India. Had these tech workers moved to India, they could quite possibly get a job. So it's not discrimination based on national origin in this case. It's that the company that bid the lowest happens to be in a different country. So they're going to hire people in that country to do the job.
I could see that. Yeah, so, you're right, because you're right. It would go through a third-party contractor. It wouldn't be like it's not like they're hiring them directly.
Yeah, so if you're doing an H-1B visa, bringing someone in, then whomever they replace may have an argument of, I'm being discriminated against because I'm an American. You're bringing so-and-so over because of his nationality, and that nationality, they're income is less, thus he's willing to work for less because coming over here, he's making more money, not because of his qualifications, just because of where you're bringing him from is why he's getting the pay raise. And technically, in this country, it's a pay cut, usually.
Well,
that makes sense?
Yes, it does. And like I said, having worked with some of these H-1B visa types, not all. I'm not going to say all of them. I've worked with several, however, who were... I can't think of a nice way to say useless.
Patels.
They didn't do shit.
Yeah, they're Patels.
They smiled a lot. They talked a good game. But when it came to actual work, they either got somebody else to do it for them or just didn't do anything.
Well, I'm saying I like what they're attempting to do, but the precedent this will set, I don't like. So they're going for a good goal with the wrong case. I think they should do this with, like, Fruit or Disney, someone who's actually using the H-1B1 program and bringing people in.
So... yeah, I mean, I don't much care for the H-1B. I work in IT, so of course I don't like the H-1B B-1. Because, again, they'll... But I'm also kind of warning people, look, if you think you're going to save a bunch of money by outsourcing to some of these firms, there's a reason they're cheap. They don't have the experience. They don't have the expertise. Most of the time, these quote-unquote coders or support engineers, they're working off glossy checklists. They're working off, Google searches. And I don't mean, like, serious Google searches. I mean, they're taking the first result they find and reading it to you.
Well, on some of this, I don't even know if it's always a competency thing. It's with a network, aren't they all pretty much specialized, even if you have a general knowledge? I mean, you've worked IT in a few different places. Didn't you have to learn the new networks every time you changed?
You have to learn the structure, the procedures. And if they're using different back-end technology, like if you're working on Cisco, someplace that uses Cisco switches, and you move to someplace that's using HP or Juniper switches, well, you're going to need to learn HP or Juniper. But if you understand routing, switching, IP network design, VLAN, those concepts don't change. Just the commands to configure the systems change a little bit, and the flavor changes. Okay. But the concepts don't change.
They're having conceptual issues, not just issues with the new network. Okay.
Yeah, they don't understand it at all. They'll quote a book to you, but they don't have any clue what that actually means. Like, they don't understand what the switch is doing. It's a magic black box with a little demon inside of it that if they type, net config, it does things.
Okay, you just need to know how to tase the demon. I got that.
Well, and if they can't find the right command in the book, they don't know what to do. They can't figure it out. So, or there's also cultural differences where they worry about saving face, so they'll fuck shit up and then lie to you about it. So, I've not had positive experience with some of the H-1B visa people I work with. Let me put it that way.
I do see cultural issues whenever you're importing any workforce or exporting a workforce, and I think that's one thing that should be.
My favorite are the ones who will call up and demand I give them administrative access to something that they've got no right having admin access to, and so they can clean up some disaster they've made without having to tell anybody they fucked it up. And it's like, no, you don't get access to that. You can send me a ticket telling me what you need done, and I'll take care of it. And of course, they never send you a ticket. It's because they don't want to write down what they did. So then you
want to
have
a record
of it. Absolutely. So then you got to go figure out what the fuck they did and, figure out how many policies they're breaking by doing whatever it was. It's like, oh, look, they grabbed some service account because they could find the password to it, which that's a problem right there. And they went into the system and made a fucking mess on this service account. Now I've got to go clean this shit up. And the reason you don't give them admin access is because they're just going to make it worse. It's like, it's like, where did all the Lambda functions go? Why are these systems not working correctly? What did you do to the cron tab?
See the Cat in the Hat book for more examples.
Oh, right. Nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. Moving on. Bleeping Computer has a funny article. Anonymous security researchers have published details on a vulnerability named Ant Bleed, which is, the author claims, is a remote backdoor affecting Bitcoin mining equipment sold by Bitmain, the largest vendor of cryptocurrency mining hardware on the market. The so-called backdoor code was added to the firmware of Bitmain products on July 11th, 2016. A security researcher reported the issue to Bitmain on September 19th of 2016 via the company's GitHub repository, where the company hosts the source code to its firmware. The original bug was ignored until yesterday, when a newly launched website named Amply detailed the backdoor's features. Amply allows remote shutdown of Bitcoin miners. According to analysis of the backdoor source code, Bitmain equipment will check every 1 to 11 minutes with a central server hosted at auth.minerlink.com. During this check-in operation, the owner's equipment will send over its serial number, MAC address, and IP. According to the lines of code, if Bitmain service responds a false, the user's equipment will stop any mining operations. At worst, this firmware allows Bitmain to shut off large sections of the global hash rate, and it can also be used to directly target specific machines or customers. Standard inbound firewall rules will not protect against this because the Amp miner makes the outbound connections. Amply vulnerability was discovered in the firmware of the Bitmain equipment, like the Antminer S9. Antminer is currently one of the most popular Bitcoin mining equipment makers on the market. Researchers believe Antbleed also affects the L3, T9, and R4 series, but they haven't been able to test them to confirm. And wow. Apparently it's like 70% of the Bitcoin hash rate.
Wow. That's nuts, man.
That's not quite what I thought this was going to be. I thought when they updated the firmware, it's like they're sending your results somewhere else and someone else is getting your Bitcoins. But I could see if you're about to crack a hash and get Bitcoins, if you shut down who's working on it and just finish it yourself, that could do something to get money, can't it?
Well, it's more that Bitmain hasn't said anything about it, but they believe it so they can shut down people who haven't paid their bill. This hardware is not cheap, so I get that, but at the same time, the nature of this means that you have one company that, if they wanted to, could pick who wins and who loses in the Bitcoin mining game. And you may not know that your systems aren't doing anything if they're reporting falsely that they are.
Ooh.
So they're saying we're working, but the company left this in so they could shut off their equipment?
Yeah, they own the server that all these machines are checking into. Now, that said... it's not that hard to put a proxy in front of the damned things now that you know to look for this and say, okay, anything going to... where was it? They finally patched it out because, they put out this website. Yeah, there it is. Auth.minerlink.com. You could put in a your own DNS entry for that and make your own server that just keeps your systems running independently of theirs. But if you didn't know to do that... Yeah, so that's kind of fucky.
I think it's kind of fucky that people aren't owning their own equipment. Are they just renting these or something?
No, they buy them. They're expensive as balls, too. Like, what's an Antminer S9 run right now?
I guess, are they buying them on lease? So why would the company have any reason to shut your shit down?
Power tripping admins.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Suck my fucking balls.
Yeah, on Amazon, an Antminer S9 is $1,898.99, but it's available on Prime.
Oh, damn.
That's nice. They can get me shit that they can turn off, and I'll get it overnight. Mm-hmm. Rock on.
Hey, I have a stupid question because I've not done any coin mining. The Bitcoin wallet, right?
Uh-huh.
How many chances a day do you get to put the password in if you're fucking it up?
Well, it's a cryptographic function. So if you happen to know enough of the access to the wallet, you could sit there and try to chew on that encryption till you crack it.
So you can just go at it all day.
Assuming it's not a hosted, assuming that you've actually gotten enough of the crypto of the wallet to be able to make that attack on it. Because you have to have its name, you have to have part of the key file, I think.
But if you're just doing random, like, brute force attack, I think, like, I'm pretty sure it's like a retarded amount of time that would be required with today's computers.
Oh no, I understand that, but there's just a competition going. Somebody's lost their Bitcoin, like, wallet.
Oh, I see.
How to get into it, and I don't know if it was real or not, but the wife was telling me about it. They're chewing on the password for half hour a day just with random callers. Like people just your password is potato.
No, that's not how Bitcoin wallets work. It's
no, I didn't think so.
Unless he's got it, maybe he's taken his wallet and like encrypted it in a zip file or something with the password. But.
Well, okay, that could be the case. But usually with these wallets, you're using a wallet application that's generated a couple of different key files, and these things are like swap. What would you say? 4068 bits or something like that. I mean, they're huge.
Yeah, it's a huge amount. I'm not sure the exact.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I fucked around with it. But a lot of people use online wallet systems, and those are like Google or Facebook, right? So unless somebody can guess your password, and I'm guessing that they'll lock you out after so many attempts.
Yeah, so I thought it was a little too simple the way my wife was explaining it to me last night, but yeah. Thanks.
But, yeah, this is just interesting that Antminer owns that much of the Bitcoin mining infrastructure. Well, owns is the wrong word. Provides the hardware.
Controls?
Well, controls in this case, yeah. Well, they removed it. But... So, I like Zycros. So, 1.5 Bitcoin, right? Actually, Bitcoins are up to like $1,300 right now, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost $1,900 Canadian right now.
Yeah, it's time to start mining the lost wallets.
Yeah, it really is. although, you know, Ethereum's jumped up big too. It went from like $10 to $60 in a month. It's like, damn, I should have bought some of that. And I didn't see that one coming at all. Good job, Psychros. He has 5 Ethereum. Quick, go after his wallet.
Kick him out.
All right, last article before we get into Dojo. This is from silencedaily.com. Virtual humans help aspiring doctors learn empathy.
Oh.
Virtual
humans. No, so, they don't.
What is this, like The Sims? As a medical student, are you learning to tell a sim they have cancer? Is that what you're doing?
Sim cancer, bitch.
For medical student Katie Gothram, or Goldrath, let's say her name right. As much as I'm able to. The first time delivering difficult healthcare news came when she had to tell a young woman named Robin and her mom, Delmi, that Robin had leukemia. As she broke the news, Goldrath was conscious not only of her words, but also her body language. Was she leaning in, looking the patient in the eye, and expressing empathy? The conversation, though, was just for practice. Robin and Delmi were virtual humans on a computer screen, lifelike beings that are intelligent and conversational and have the capability of interacting with a wide range of communication behaviors shared in typical face-to-face dialogue. I wish they had pictures. I bet they're horrifying.
I want to play this game. Can I get it on Steam?
Can you like pick up the mouse and smack them around?
It's like, you have cancer.
You're in hysterics. You know, start shaking them like what's the movie? Airplane, where they take turns shaking the woman in hysterics.
The artificial patient, you know, is pregnant, doesn't want to know the sex of his baby. That's okay. It is not breathing. Come on, that was funny.
Yes, it was.
Robin and Delmi were virtual humans on a computer screen, lifelike beings that are intelligent and conversational, have the capability to interact, blah, blah, blah. Such intuitive interactions could help aspiring doctors better prepare for difficult and emotionally challenged encounters with patients and hospital colleagues, according to a study recently published by researchers from Medical Cyberworlds, Inc. and the University of Michigan in an international journal, Patient Education and Counseling. Communication is the most important part of the doctor-patient relationship. Well, yes, you know, but I prefer direct communication rather than, you know, they sneak up behind you. You don't know what's about to happen. Is the doctor going to come on to me? You have cancer whispered into your ear. It just seems a little creepy. So lead author Frederick Korn.
I think as a patient, you have a responsibility not to freak the fuck out, too.
Adjunct research facility in the Department of Family Medicine at UM Medical School and founder of Medical Cyberworlds, the company that developed the virtual reality program. We found that virtual human simulation was... Sorry, that's just a phrase. We found that virtual human simulation was an engaging and effective tool to teach medical students advanced communication skills and, very importantly, that skills in the simulation transferred into a more realistic clinical situation. Oh, it's a VR headset, so it's like on an Oculus. I've seen models on those. They can be pretty light. You know, they got that Deadeye Uncanny Valley thing going on.
In this, I could see the goal they're trying to go with. This is where you need to bring in improv everywhere. And just stand face to face and tell people all day that they have cancer and they're going to die.
I figure this is just simply the mark of a doctor who's experienced versus a doctor who's not. we found virtual... Okay, where was I? Research shows that poor clinician communication skills may contribute to lower levels of patient satisfaction, poorer health outcomes, and higher risk of complaints and malpractice claims. Poor communication is consistently among the most frequently identified root causes for sentinel events in hospital settings. Events that can lead to preventable patient harm or even death.
That's why they write on your other leg, don't cut this one off.
Yeah.
America, the best healthcare anywhere.
Oh, fuck!
Finding an effective way to assess and teach advanced healthcare communication skills has been a long-standing challenge, said co-author of UN Medical Professor Michael Fetters, MD. Medical learners have a great need for practical, innovative methods to help them master the complexities of healthcare communication and develop excellent communication skills, both verbal and nonverbal. Ours is the first ever research showing that it can be done effectively with virtual reality. Researchers address this challenge using revolutionary virtual human technology called Empathic VR. It's spelled MPA, so not empathic, empathic. This medical medical cyberworlds applications allows learners to talk with emotive computer-based virtual humans who can see, hear, and react to them in real time. The virtual humans use a full range of behaviors expected from two people talking to each other. Please don't delete me. don't no Windows 10. Don't upgrade to Windows 10. The system assesses learners' body language, facial expressions, and communication strategy. You're not going to be able to effectively communicate to patients without the VR suit. Facial expression communication strategies then uses this information to produce real-time responses from the virtual human and provide personalized suggestions based on the learner's strengths and weaknesses. Learners also see their interactions with the virtual human on video. Here's where you told them that they had cancer and they really should have stayed away from the anal sex.
You really should have cleared that pop-up before going ahead and telling them you had 3 weeks to live.
You know, it's probably not cool to just, you know, send them the bad medical news in a tweet, just saying. Then get the
all in emojis.
Eggplant.
So would the
colon.
Poopy go halfway through or at the beginning when you're about to give them shitty news?
Well, it depends on whether or not they've got, you know, breast, skin, or anal cancer. Let's see.
I'm trying to figure out how you tell someone they have cancer in emoji.
I'm trying to. You just say your life is shit. You have the gun for kill yourself. We're gonna have to translate your life into something.
It's a sad face, the little butt, a shit.
Wow.
System assesses learners. Oh, I already read this. Carefully designed structure of the learning experience, including repeat interactions, improved the students' communication skills. The findings suggest the study was conducted among 421 students at three. How did they pick that number? 421. Why not 420? Why not 425?
That's how many they had enrolled.
I mean, why not just 420? You know, go over to the pot joke while you're at it, right? Students at three universities, half the group used virtual reality, half used more traditional computer-based training. Goldrath, now her fourth year of medical school at Michigan, says she benefited from the opportunity to practice scenarios in virtual reality. Well, of course, there's no actual consequences there. So you feel good about it. It's like, your child who got caught in the elevator, yep, she died. Just practice telling the sim that, right? So, what are the scenarios they're telling them? I mean, we keep making the cancer joke, but I mean, you think about a hospital, right? Think about the bad news that you really have to, you know, that they have to learn.
Well, it's flesh eating. That's how much we figured out so far.
Can tell you that when I evacuated the pus and there wasn't living flesh there.
So the good news is we found half of the spider.
The bad news is the other half seems to be playing and likes kidney.
I've never seen a 40-year-old man with a conjoined twin that big.
Many times patients don't initially absorb a doctor's explanation because of shock, denial, fear, and other emotions, she says. Factors like whether the doctor was standing over you or leaning in to comfort you, whether he or she was reading from a piece of paper or looked you in the eye, leaving a lasting impact on the patient. You know,
you did get a meta score for how well you did at the end of it?
I guess. I mean, are they getting into NLP? Are you going to start doing micro expressions next? These actions represent the patient. What kind of support system the provider will be to him or her during these difficult times? Current teaching methods typically include small groups of learners and focus on role-playing with each other or simulated patients. Yeah, I think that'd be more effective just to bring in actors to, you know, lose their shit.
Too. Yeah.
You know, just get the actor to lose their shit when you know, explain to them that, yes, they didn't.
More.
Yeah. They didn't. You know, your four-year-old didn't, in fact, drown at the bottom of the river when you drunkenly drove into it. We're sorry.
A lot of medical training happens at actual hospitals.
Yeah.
So while you're teaching bedside manner, what you do is you go to the cancer support group for survivors. You don't want to do this with people that are still going through the shit. And just ask for volunteers to give feedback to doctors on breaking the news that you have cancer.
So, are you talking about people in remission of cancer?
Yes.
Worst and then people give them a discount on their... that with.
What?
Worst people. They're the worst people you ever want to do that with, MadMen. They've already been through the seven stages of grief, and they're just going to fuck with you.
Not to mention the whole side of, hey, guess what? If one of these doctors trips out on a patient. So just, like, mentally loses it and all.
So, you know, you're going to have these doctors trained to come in on a unicycle with a clown nose, say, hey, guess what, guys? It's like, oh no, Dr. Smith is getting out the unicycle. Somebody's about to die.
Dr. Bob, can you stop taking selfies?
I just kind of want to hack this program and have it update to every time the sim gets bad news, it pulls a gun out and blows its head off in front of the doctor. And just have the screen sprayed in the fucking gore.
Well, they're medical students, so that shouldn't bother them.
Cutting into a person and having brain matter fly towards your eyes are two very different things.
You know, another person's bone when it enters your body will cause an infection.
Yes.
Yeah, not good to be that close if someone's going to blow their brains out. Just saying. But definitely, in all seriousness, I reckon they should have done this with actors. There should be a whole program set up. Then again, these people are doctors. They spend a lot of time learning. Let's just give them a break on their bedside manner. And, hey, you know, if you are diagnosed with cancer, think about it from the doctor's point of view. He's had to tell you, don't be a cunt. Because at the end of the day, man, they're there to save your ass, not kiss it. So don't get all fucking emotional when the doctor is very fucking gruff and short with me when he told me I had 3 months to live. Yeah, they're going to do the best they can for you for 3 months.
Don't most doctors have to spend like a couple of years? I can't remember what it's actually called, but it's basically
residency.
Residency.
Yeah.
So wouldn't they just observe?
Yep.
You know,
that's generally where they do it, I think.
That's generally where you learn to give the bad news is you're a resident helping the doctor out in the cancer ward, and you see the news given a few times, and eventually they tell you to put on your big boy pants, and you get to break the bad news.
It's the same when the police come around to tell you your fucking mother's, you know, just a stain on the highway now. They generally get the younger constables to do it. Just so they have, you know, they have a chance to do it.
So, all right, let's move on to this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, I have three links for us tonight in Digital Dojo, and all of them are because, you know what, fuck the internet. Anyways, so here's the first one. This is a fantastic little GitHub word list set of probable word lists. So this guy has put together a whole bunch of generated dictionary passwords and real passwords and put together some amazing word lists, and it's like 21 gig right now.
Wow.
Of don't use this password?
Yeah, of shit, don't use this password. And they're probable. So he's figured out a formula of figuring out passwords that people are likely to use to make them a little bit more likely to crack something for you in a reasonable period of time. So, and right now he's working on cleaning it up and zipping it up, but I mean, there's just a massive amount of word lists here. So if you're going to go password cracking, this is a fantastic resource to start with.
And is it searchable so I could use it to make sure my password is at least not on this list yet?
I would download it to do that, but yes.
Oh yeah, I would. I'm not gonna like key it into their website.
Yeah, no, it's a GitHub thing, dude. You just go clone or download, hit download zip. It's a huge zip file, so it'll take a while. But yeah, you can just clone it.
Okay.
Or you could actually, if you want to have a better chance, because I mean, he's got a bunch of different dictionaries in here. If you actually want a better chance of getting it all downloaded at once, because a 24 gig zip file could take a while, I would use the Git clone, or I'd clone it in a Git tool, so it's pulling individual files, not the not one giant ass zip file. So, but yeah, if you want some password lists to start trying to crack shit with, here's a good place to start. Speaking of cracking shit, I've got a couple of Pastebin links. Now this first one's a little bit older, but this is the DIY guide for those without the patience to wait for whistleblowers. It's called Hack Back. It is a old school text file write-up of the guys who broke into Gamma because they were spying on people, and actually documents them going through Academy and a few other websites, and details the tools they were using and how they got root and did several things to these guys and stole their shit. So there's links in here, there's tools in here, write up a methodology, and of course it's all written hacker, you know, it's all you know, just very straightforward, very blunt, kind of expects you to be willing to look up shit. But yeah, full on, you want to go after somebody, here's a nice how-to to do it, or at least a template, you know, how to set up a Hunix VM. Now he talks about using TrueCrypt to kind of hide what you're doing. That's a little bit dated, you know, talking about shit like breaking into somebody else's Wi-Fi, don't use your own. Go through Tor, set up a server somewhere to connect to, and then, you know, doing the DNS lookups, scanning and exploiting, figuring out what people are running, you know, then ultimately describes going through and putting together what he did when he found a embedded device that he could compromise, upload custom firmware to, and what he put in that firmware to use to, you know, and how he pivoted around. Actually, I might be... Yeah, this is where they were going after Finn Fisher. So, actually, I think I might be mixing up with the hardware. That might be the other one. Anyways, so second one is called Hack Back, a DIY Guide. And this is going after a different target, roughly detailing the same thing. A couple of different tools listed out in it. Again, Pastebin text file, and this one's got some horrible ASCII art on the front of it there. So, you know, enjoy that. But this is where they were going after a hacking team. And again, you know, some write-ups of what to do, what to avoid, and, you know, again, where they were doing the DNS, doing the reconnaissance, and then actually attacking things, getting into it, and going from there. Okay, yeah, this is the one where they worked up a embedded device firmware. So I got them mixed up a little bit. But, again, if you're wanting to get started in this shit, this is a great place to get started. They've got some links to different software, how to use some things, and a write-up of methodology. Don't be stupid. Don't get your ass caught doing this kind of shit. But it's interesting reading, even if you're not into this. So it kind of gives you an idea of what these guys do to actually break into networks.
Ooh. No, sir. It's illegal to hack back. I'm going to love that story forever.
Yeah, sounds interesting, but I'm not a chance in hell I'm clicking that link.
I clicked both of them. They're probably not going to haul me off to jail.
They're text files. I'm fucking Pastebin. It's fine. And I'm sure most skiddies out there already know these things, so it's not like you're going to get picked up for opening these links. Now, if you start following some of these and it's like, ooh, I'm going to break into Hacking Team, maybe that should be your first target. you know, your better target might be your middle school. Just saying.
Oh, fuck.
We're not advocating going after any government institution, local, state,
no way
or
associated
otherwise.
With SMORPs.
But remember,
what I recommend you do is you identify people who main Hanzo, and you go after them.
And possibly their employers.
There we go. I was waiting for that to come up.
I might be wrong. Hanzo's. We all know how that ends. So, that's what I've got tonight. Thoughts? Concerns? Anything? Aryu's just staring at the ASCII art of that frog on that one-line cartridge.
I am trying to figure out whether it's gay or not. Does it need help?
Does it need help?
These things and many more I'll be pondering, but stay out of my brain between 3 and 5. That's my time.
Madman, closing thoughts.
I don't think Sims are the better way to go, but I do see how it's cost efficient. I just don't know if we can do virtual reality. I just got cancer and the robot react appropriately.
Laser, ramble a bit.
Well, I'm curious when the whole robo-tackling is going to actually tackle back.
Oh god, that sucker should have a fucking taser. I'd buy it if it had a taser.
Are you want to ramble?
Oh yeah, I'm just thinking along this whole robot assault thing, and I'm pretty sure I just took Major's go. I'm saying the first autonomous sexual assault of a robot will be in Europe somewhere.
But it's going to be due to a sexual emergency.
I saw where somebody claiming they were working on the first there was like some kind of a race on to develop the first sex robot, but I thought some brothel already beat them to it, so.
They're using real dolls. That's not an actual robot.
Yeah, I'm thinking some car park attendant robot's going to get raped.
All right, Suave, got anything you want to close out with?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that I am in no way affiliated with Morps and his crazy ideas on hacking government property.
No 5 cents for you, then.
I'm not hacking government property. I'm encouraging poor behavior in others.
Yeah. Anyone would have graduated from that by now.
The nice part about it is our prisons are actually nice. They're not as rapey as yours.
Oh, that's good to know.
So what I need to do is get blacklisted and sent to Australia for my prison time.
Yeah, go hack shit in Australia. Apparently their prisons are less rapey. I've heard it from a reliable source. My definition of reliable is somewhat suspect. Did everybody get a chance for closing? Did I miss anybody?
Yeah, I think
you got it.
Alright. I'm going to play the Pac-Man noise.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.